Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here we go.
It is the home team on 960 The Ref, brought to you as always by Athens Technical College. Your passion, your future elevated. Tyler head in for the Bramer today alongside Jeff Dantzler. 1 hour down, 2 hours to go. We're going to jump into the 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems, in just a moment. I don't think I've mentioned this on air in these past couple weeks, but I feel kind of funny that I only recently realized this. The intro that we have to the show and to every top of the hour, mm-hmm. where it starts off with the static and then the I didn't know where that came from.
It's HBO. Yeah,
see, I've never had HBO in my life, so I didn't know that. A couple weeks ago though, because I have Hulu television, for some reason we got HBO for free for like a week or whatever, and I watched McMillions, the McMillions documentary, which is very good. I highly recommend it to everybody, and it does like the HBO intro, and I was like, oh, that's where that comes from. I had no idea. I just thought it was a really cool sound effect that Brain found somewhere.
Yeah, I can remember. No, that was back in the day, back in the early 2000s, HBO Sunday Night. You had it in the fall of 2002, and the Dogs mm-hmm. had a great season. You'd have The Sopranos followed by Curb Your Enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is big time stuff. So that was always a great thing after the Dogs had won. Hey, I've got just a second. I've got a birthday I need to throw out there real
quick.
Sure.
Absolutely.
My buddy Alex Goodrich, who tunes us in every day down on the banks of beautiful Lake Sinclair. His lovely mother, Ellen, is celebrating her 35th birthday again today. So, Miss Ellen, happy birthday to you, Miss Ellen Goodrich.
June birthdays are the best birthdays.
Yeah, yours is, help me out here.
It was Friday.
Friday, okay, that's right. I couldn't remember if it was Friday or Saturday. I think I text you like right after midnight Thursday something?
You did the classic Facebook post.
Okay.
Just after midnight.
Okay, I thought I got you at like 12:02.
Yeah,
I send you a text also?
You may have. I don't remember. You were the first one to reach out.
So sweet.
You won. But yeah, no, I appreciate that. I'm the big 2-4 now.
Oh, you're getting up there, Ty. Well, Listen, in August I'll be 48, so I'll be exactly twice your age.
Well, just say it's the 24th anniversary of your 24th birthday.
That's a good way to do it. I've taken a few red shirt years.
That's right. Gray shirt, blue shirt, red shirt.
What it is.
Keep going.
I've worn them all. Found something pretty good too here, flipping through. MLB Network's actually coming through. It's a game from 1978. You got the Cardinals and the Reds. Tom Seaver threw a no-hitter, and Pete Rose drove in 2 runs. Well, there you go.
Pete Rose. There's a guy that's not allowed in the Hall of Fame.
That is true. I think with him, what they're going to do, kind of his punishment for not coming clean, I thought from well before your time, back in 89 or whatever it was, uh-huh. when the case broke, I think if he'd have just come clean right then, I think within 5, 6, 7 years he would have been in. But the cover-up, and then when he finally does, quote-unquote, fess up so he could sell books, I think that turned a lot of people off because he did have public opinion on his side. Mm-hmm. I think what's going to happen with him, they're going to put him in after he dies.
Yeah, that seems like the most likely thing, just as a little last little middle finger, I guess. Unfortunately.
I've just got a feeling that's going to happen. So,
yeah.
We can go down that road later. All right. Mr. Tyler Head, the one and only young superstar, just turned 24. Good-looking young man.
I try.
You succeed. What you got for us, bud?
Yeah, it's time for the 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duplicating Systems. More than a system, ain't solution. And we just talked about Pete Rose there, so I will jump into my first question. I'm guessing you didn't get a chance to see Long Gone Summer, the 30 for 30 that aired on Sunday night.
I did not. Tell me what Long Gone Summer was about.
It's about the home run chase between Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa in 98. Also kind of featuring Ken Griffey Jr. in the beginning of the season.
I do remember it quite well, though.
I thought it was pretty good. You know, they didn't, me and Dave talked about this yesterday, they didn't dive too deeply into the steroid stuff.
That's good.
You know, it was kind of like the last 15 minutes or so. It was mainly just about the home run chase, but I thought it was pretty well done.
Okay.
It's not going to beat The Last Dance or anything like that, but it was still pretty good. And my question to you is, what is something in the world of sports that deserves to have a 30 for 30 made of it that hasn't been done yet?
Let's see. So we're talking big picture stuff here.
Yep.
They're probably... here's the deal, too, with the 30 for 30s. They've got to be able to do it when they've got the footage.
Yes.
So, like, there's a lot. Like, I'd love to go even more in-depth into some of the great World Series from the 50s with the mm-hmm. Yankees and Dodgers and then the Yankees and Braves. But there's just such limited footage.
Yeah.
And plus, you know, a lot of those ball players are no longer with us. You know, I think something on Wilt Chamberlain's 100-point game
mm-hmm.
would be fantastic. But again, stuff like that, as we get further away from it, I think becomes more and more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
So, most of the stuff they've done on football has been really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
I think the 85 Bears were such a fascinating team. That was one of the best ones. Two of my all-time favorites were the Miracle on Ice from the Soviet team's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that is just absolutely, absolutely must-watch television. And the other one was – I just went blank. Oh, the Two Escobars.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. I made Emily watch that with me the other night. She's like, this is really depressing. I'm like, yeah it kind of is, but it's an
– It's real.
It's a really – really unbelievable story. So that would also, you know, that was one of my all-time favorites right there. So for ones, if you wanted to throw one out right now, I think Nicklaus winning the 86 Masters
mm-hmm.
and maybe pairing it with Tiger winning it in 19 and mm-hmm. the similarities. I mean, when you look at the leaderboard
yep.
and the quality of players – and the passion behind it,
mm-hmm.
I think that would be a really good one. I also think maybe the McEnroe-Borg-Wimbledon final from 80 would be at the top of the list.
This one might sting a little bit to watch, but just kind of given what happened in the years after, I think one about the 08 Florida Gators would be a pretty interesting one.
With Tebow.
Tebow, Aaron Cam Hernandez. Newton, Aaron Hernandez, Urban Meyer.
Yep.
You know, just –
just unsavory characters.
Yeah.
Well, except for Tebow.
Yeah. Tebow was the one saint in the whole group.
Yeah.
And
Cam, okay, he stole a computer. I mean, he's been after that. He hasn't.
But just the fact that he was on that team, too, makes it more compelling. I don't know. I find that pretty fascinating. Unfortunately, I think we're probably going to get another 10-part series on the year 2020 itself.
Oh, my gosh.
And just how crazy this has already been. We're not even halfway through it. I could see that definitely coming down the road. No, I love the 30 for 30s. The Ric Flair one was fantastic.
Oh, it was great.
An underrated one that I don't think a lot of people talk about is the one on Lynn Bias that made...
It's tremendous.
It has been close to a decade now, 8 or 10 years ago, but I thought that one was really, really good, especially for somebody like me. And that's something that I love about these, you know, and The Last Dance, Long Gone Summer are two perfect examples of things that, you know, I either wasn't alive for or wasn't old enough to be aware of when they were happening, to kind of, you know, experience it for the first time, really. Because I've heard stories about the home run chase. I've heard stories about, you know, Jordan's success with the Bulls in the 90s, but I never saw it myself. So to finally get that in-depth look at it through the players' eyes, the people in the media, just people around it in general, has been really, really neat.
No, it has been. And they've done such a great job. And almost all of those pieces are so well done.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic.
Absolutely.
So, got to send out another birthday here.
Okay.
One of my main guys, my man, little Fred Reifstack, is now a teenager. He is 13 years old.
Now is like little an ironic nickname, or is he actually like a...
No, he's Fred Jr.
His father, Dr.
Reifstack, is one of my favorite guys. He's the team doctor for the University of Georgia.
And, gotcha.
Little Fred's mom, Joyce, is a great lady, but little Fred is a passionate Bulldog fan,
That's
loves
awesome.
Baseball. Loves the St. Louis Cardinals like his dad. In fact, I'm watching him get no-hit by Tom Seaver here in 1978 on the MLB Network. But he is a huge, huge sports fan and a great kid. So he's got us dialed in this afternoon.
Now, when you have a nickname like Little, that means you got to grow up to be at least 6'5".
Absolutely.
Make it funny.
So he could turn into an All-American tight end for
that's
the
right.
Dogs. He's still Little Fred Reifstad.
That's right. There's still plenty of time. Well, happy birthday to you.
Little
like said,
Fred.
Like I said, June birthdays are the best birthdays.
So what is your, what's y'all's, what do you call it, sign?
Astrological sign.
There you go.
Gemini. Mine's a Gemini. You know, it's not specifically cut by months. There's like, I think it runs through
Are you right on the edge of it?
I think it runs through like June 21st or 22nd, like right around the start of technically summer, quote unquote. I know for my birthday, at least, it's a Gemini.
Yeah, because I'm a Virgo, but okay. I think mine starts August 23rd is mine.
Okay.
So hang on. Let's check this out real quick. Here we go. So your birthday is the 20th?
12th.
The 12th.
Yep.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Listen, man, I've been at the beach for
four and a half days. You're still in a 5 o'clock
fog.
Somewhere state of mind.
You are a Gemini indeed.
Yes, correct.
And what's the date today?
The 16th.
All right, so we're still... Cancer comes in, that's the crab, on June 21st.
Okay, yeah, right, the start of summer.
There you go.
So that makes sense.
With the old summer solstice.
Yeah, my girlfriend's a Cancer. Her birthday is July the 4th.
You got to be kidding me.
Nope.
She's an Independence Day young lady.
That's right. So,
awesome.
I say everybody shoots off fireworks for her birthday.
Well, absolutely right. This is all for you, honey.
That's right.
All for you, honey. All right, good stuff.
Yep, moving on in the 5 at 5. I think this came out yesterday. It may have just been from over the weekend. Ohio State is requiring all of their football players to basically sign a medical release waiver. You know, they're back on campus getting ready to start the season, basically saying, hey, you know, you're at risk for COVID-19, and, you know, technically the university is not responsible for what happens, blah, 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 blah. I mean, is this kind of the key that everybody needs to get in on to make this season happen?
Yeah, I think there's, again, like we've said before, the more planning that's been done, the more information that's out there, because this is, I'm going to use that buzzword again, this is a fluid situation. Mm-hmm. And I think most people understand that. So if it's a deal, and I think as testing has become more accessible, the more people who are comfortable with it, and obviously with players, if you're comfortable with it, and if you're not comfortable with it, and you don't feel like it's time, well, then that's, you know, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But I think pushing forward, continuing to move forward,
yep,
while carefully following all the information and all the guidelines, is the way that we're going to see this thing continue to roll on. And yep, again, like we said, you know, and if you missed us in the first hour there, Tyler and I were talking about the different plans. And it's been great that they're different plans for, mm-hmm, different contingencies, whether an empty stadium, a full stadium, you know, one-third full stadium, 10,000 fans, 50,000 fans, whatever it may be, however big the stadium at the school is there. I've just got a feeling, and again, I have zero information out there, I've just got a feeling that you're going to see it either be empty,
mm-hmm,
which nobody wants to see.
Of course.
Or as close to business as usual as possible.
Right.
And basically let anybody who wants to go, you can go. And again, if you don't feel comfortable going, and maybe they'll do the thing with everybody coming in, you know, it could be like the Super Bowl getting into games now.
Yep.
It's going to be a process. And, you know, whether it makes a difference or not, I don't know. But where I know for the gym I go to, Tyler, they have one of the little thermometer. It looks like,
yep,
a gun, basically.
They put it
up your head and,
yep,
and take your temperature. You know, maybe it'd be something like that. You know, I don't know. Again, right, I have no idea.
Well,
this is pure speculation. I am wildly speculating,
right,
here. But I've just got a feeling it's going to be one end or the other, because I just think, and as you mentioned earlier, when you and Dave talked to Georgia's athletic director, Greg McGarity, these different plans, trying to decide, well, who of the 30,000 or what 20,000 of the you know, X number of season ticket holders get to come.
Yeah.
I can't imagine the headache that would be.
Oh, without a doubt. And, you know, it was just a couple of weeks ago when I was in here with you, the same day that they extended his contract another year. And, you know, you certainly have to look at, you know, what he's been doing in handling of all this up to this point is, you know, a big reason why that possibly got extended, because he has handled things very well so far. Still a lot of decisions to be made yet, but, you know, McGarrity, he overall has been a pretty good athletic director for the past decade. And, you know, I think most people feel like he's been navigating these waters pretty well so far.
No, I think he's done a terrific job with this, and the leadership that's been so important on all fronts, and this is across the board in the SEC and college athletics. And I think a lot of it has been, and listen, in football we've been able to do that. Everything happened when the dominoes started falling on March 12th. That was just such an awful day there, but being patient. And at the same time, you're making plans and you're coming up with ideas. And it's like we've said a lot in the midst of all this, there have been a lot of ideas thrown out there, and maybe some of them aren't very good. Maybe some of them are terrible, but a lot of them have been very good. A lot of them have been great. You know, I think a lot of them, to tangent here for just a second, you know, the idea of that NBA calendar being December through early August, I think a lot of people really like that. I think the college baseball calendar going from mid to late March into July, oh my gosh, I hope that comes through. I mean, I was smiling ear to ear when I heard about the potential for that. Although if it does go in 2022, that means I'll be turning 50 during that season.
That'll be the 26th anniversary of your 24th
birthday. See, there you go. Red shirt years. That's the key. So there have been some good ideas that have come out of this. And I think for the most part, you know, just throwing ideas out there, you know, when you're trying to come up with solutions to get things done,
right?
I think that's a very healthy thing. And listen, you might come up with five ideas, and one of them might get laughed at, two of them might get dismissed, one of them you might get a nod, one of them might be great. So I think the more open in communication that you can be about all of this stuff, I think the better it is. And like you said, I don't envy any of these administrators, from ADs to presidents to commissioners, to get trying to take in and decipher all the information and come up with a plan. And it also just might be one of those deals where this year, listen, it's going to look different in the SEC and parts of the Big Ten and parts of the Big 12 than it is in parts of the Pac-12 or in parts of the Northeast. And, you know, it's just one of those things that, hey, you have to understand that going in. You know, this is, I think we all want to see, well, will everything just be the right way and organize the same absolutely every year? And it just might be one of those deals where it's not. And it might be a situation where you're going to look back in media guides 40 years from now and see 2020 and say, well, and I'm just using for an example, hey, how come the Cal Golden Bears only played six games, but, you know, the Oregon Ducks and Arizona Wildcats played 12, and everybody in the SEC played 12. It's like, well, it was a deal, and the situation in California was different than it was in other places. Or this school was a public school. This school was a private school. This league decided to do that. You know, this league decided, like, well, we got to have everybody on board before we do this. There are just a lot of things that are happening. But, again, I think the patience that has been shown has been very important. And at the same time, there's been a lot of planning going on with this because, again, the economic impact of this, it's hard to quantify and measure what it means to every college town in America.
Right.
And, you know, Tyler, we've used the example, too, just on a, for me and you, it's big. But for, you know, on a macroeconomic scale, not that huge. Just for you, all right, the dog's not playing baseball this year, okay? What that means for you, since Dave and I call the games, okay? So you're getting double banged on that because when we're on the road, you're working morning shows and afternoon shows.
Right.
And when we're playing, you're producing the games in studio.
Yep.
Well, all of a sudden, you know, when there was no baseball, Dave and I are in. You're not coming in, whereas basically you're on the afternoon and morning show as much as anybody when you combine the two.
Right.
And now all of a sudden, maybe you went through a stretch where you were only on like maybe once or twice every week or two, and there are no games to produce. So that's an example too. You know, you probably wouldn't be included in the classic. Well, here's the economic impact. That's just it's big for you.
Right.
But on the grand scheme, a small example of how the stoppages, how it affected so many people.
Yep.
And then when you start bringing the restaurants, the taverns, and the hotels into this thing, I mean,
it's bigger than the numbers suggest.
It is, and the numbers are huge. Yep. So that's why, and you know, then you're talking about, you know, getting obviously classes started back, and just, you know, in terms of, you know, the country and people at work. And I know my wife, Emily, she's a school teacher, so she was teaching from home for basically 2.5 months. Well, now we don't have kids. We do have Albus.
Yeah.
But, you know, can you imagine, like, okay, well, we've got a six-year-old and a nine-year-old. Both of us work. What are we supposed to do? We got to get school started back.
Right, right.
And like I said, from kindergarten to college. And, again, it might look different in some areas for a little while. I don't know, but that is such an engine.
It is.
That drives us. And obviously, the new year starts on January 1st, but for so many of us, and Tyler, you're still young, you just recently graduated there, you know, in many ways, the school year is as big of the start of a new year as New Year's Day is.
Mm-hmm. Yep, sure is. Absolutely.
And listen, we, as Coach McGill would say, king football. I mean, we got to have it, and also, you know, obviously having soccer and volleyball get things started in August. So, and I think it's going to happen. How it's going to look, I don't know. And I envy the salaries of some of the decision makers on this, but trying to process and come up with the plan and how it's going to go, I certainly don't envy that, because I know it's not easy.
Absolutely. Moving on in the 5 at 5, it came out yesterday, and before that, the NFL has moved pretty fluidly without any hiccups through this whole process. So far, again, they're still about 3 months away from their season starting, but there hasn't been any big indications of any roadblocks in the way so far. Yesterday, though, it was announced that several Cowboys and Texans players, including Ezekiel Elliott, had recently tested positive for the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. I mean, nothing's really happened since then, but, you know, if over the next couple of weeks, or even the closer we get to the season, if more players test positive for it, specifically like superstar players, we kind of saw what happened with the NBA when Rudy Gobert tested positive for it and they shut everything down. Obviously, we know a lot more about it since then. We've learned a lot more, but do you kind of fear there could be an overreaction if we see more of these cases in the next couple of weeks or months?
Yeah, I think that, again, that's one where the medical professionals are certainly the experts there. And I think, again, this is just one of those deals where the more testing that is available, the better. And, you know, we don't want to get too deep into the weeds on this stuff, but I think the more that we're able to get guys tested, and then let's say Ezekiel Elliott. Okay, so when did you say he tested positive? Again, I've been
I don't know the specific day the information came out yesterday.
So let's say it's Saturday, and the kind of the quarantine incubation period is 2 weeks. So, you know, then if you know, so you check him again, let's just say, for example, in another 12, 11 days from now. So you're 2 weeks removed from that. And, you know, how are you? If you're good, then, yeah, you come back. And, you know, this whole thing, it affects so many different people in different ways, and we've all read about, you know, obviously who is more at risk, and they're going to be outliers. And again, I have some friends and some people very close to me that have to be extremely, extremely careful because of underlying health conditions. I also think with this, and again, no doctor here, this is a virus, and once the first people who had it got off the plane in Hartsfield and LAX and you name it, and it started going around. I mean, I had my next door neighbor's a doctor, and he said, about a large percentage of us, you might be asymptomatic, or it might not affect you, or at least going to get touched by it.
Yes.
I do think when it hit, there was a fear that it was going to be like the movie Outbreak, that, you know, if you get it, like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be dead within 2 or 3 days. And when it did hit, I think the biggest concern, and especially besides obviously loss of life and the economic impact, I think the kind of the big picture, big concern with some of the stuff that happened in Europe where it got going so fast was that the hospitals were going to be overrun.
Right.
Thank God they haven't been.
Yes.
And I think with that, that has allowed us to move forward at a nice pace.
Yes.
But yeah, this, you know, dealing with all this, that is, you know, certainly something for the medical professionals to where they're just going to have to be on top of things with all of our leaders. And, you know, so again, so that's, you know, what you brought up there, you know, what if during the season, you know, your starting quarterback tests positive for it?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is he going to have to sit for 2 weeks? I don't know.
Yep.
Again, those are some of the contingency plans that are being made right now.
Yep.
But I know at one point when you look at just when the unemployment hit 40 million, and thank goodness some jobs are coming back now, and then you just looked at some of the percentages and the number of people that we know had tested positive for. Now, obviously, there are going to be more people that have it that we don't know. They just haven't been tested. I mean, Tyler, I guarantee you, we know people that have had it that, you know, were sick.
And, yeah, it just doesn't affect them.
Yeah, yeah. You just, or, you know, yeah, I was in bed for a couple of days. You know, I feel all right now. And, I think we all realize that the economic impact that this thing has had. I mean, it has been. It's been crushing. Now, the positives, we've seen a lot of people pull together on this. And as we've said so many times, that in the darkness, light shine brightest. So,
absolutely.
You know, moving forward with this thing, I think it's very important. Listen, we got to get moving again and again. You know, football, it's more than just a game. And these sports are more the engine that it drives economically.
Yep.
And again, school, as we said, from kindergarten to college, we got to get back out there, but at the same time, it might look a little bit different for a little while.
Absolutely.
And again, there's your lesson from Jeff Dantzler, MD.
Doctor in the house.
Doctor in the house.
I'm not a doctor, but I do play one on television.
Do play one on radio. There's I might or might not have gotten through a science class due to good peripheral vision.
That's right.
I don't know if my statute of limitations has run out on that. But
well, as long as you remember that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell, that's all you need to know.
Look at you.
That's one of those facts that everybody remembers for some reason, and
well,
I don't
know
why.
Not everybody.
Well, now you know. Now you are never going to forget it.
Not everybody. That is, you know, this whole thing has been so just mind-boggling. And you know, when you think back and you look through history, and again, looking at that picture from the Tech game back in 1918, I think they were playing Furman that day, but just everybody in the stands is wearing a mask. And it's like, holy cow, you know, that was 100 years ago. Again, my neighbor who's a doctor said, like, you know, these things hit like every 100 years or so. And it's
almost to a T.
Yeah. I mean, you go back through history and it's – and the thing about 1918, you know, there wasn't television then, but there, you know, there were cameras and newspapers and ways to record that. And honestly, the Spanish flu was – the effect that it had was – it was way, way worse. The percentages, the numbers were way, way worse. And again, thank goodness, you know, now listen, things, we all know, you know, I'm knocking on wood over here, things can change. But we, you know, it's been great getting some positive news on this, because I think for so many of us, we're just, you know, and I understand that there are still a lot of people who are worried. But for so many of us, it's just, we're just ready to get back to work. And we're ready to get the games going again, because I think now for me working in sports, it was a double hit. But when the NBA canceled that night of March 11th and then the dominoes started to fall, it was one of those deals where, well, they just canceled the NCAA basketball tournament.
Yep.
It's like this got – it got real quick. Yep.
Absolutely.
I mean, quick.
Yep. And that'll do it for the 5 at 5, brought to you as always by Duke King Systems. More than a system, a solution.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.